When we look in the face of someone else, we are looking into the face of God Almighty, into His image of who He is.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincannon Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
Jesus saves.
We have two scripture lessons this morning. The first from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image and in our likeness. Let them rule the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the domestic animals all over the earth, and all the animals that crawl in the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. He created them male and female. That is how it will be when the dead come back to life. When the body is planted, it decays. And when it comes back to life, it cannot decay. When the body is planted, it doesn't have any splendor and it is weak. When it comes back to life, it has splendor and it is strong. It is planted as a physical body. It comes back to life as a spiritual body. As there is a physical body, so is there also a spiritual body. This is what the scripture says. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The spiritual does not come first, but the physical and then the spiritual. The first man was made from the dust of the earth. He came from the earth. The second man came from heaven. The people on earth are like the man who was made from the dust of the earth. The people in heaven are like the man who came from heaven. As we have worn the likeness of the man who was made from the dust of the earth, we will also wear the likeness of the man who came from heaven.
Jesus, as I said earlier, is in the upper room with the disciples. They have just finished having the Passover meal, and he has spent chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16 discussing with them important things that they need to know. Almost as though he was giving them a final lecture, a final discussion about what they needed to know and what he wanted to share with them in those last moments, probably more like hours, it seemed to them. But then he prays for them just before they depart from the upper room. And so keep this in mind as you hear this being a prayer from Jesus to God the Father. After Jesus had spoken those words, he looked up to heaven and he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made known your name to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you have given them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything that you have given me is from you. For the words that you give to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name, so that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one that was destined to be lost, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world, but sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And as for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they might also be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be all one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, so that they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may become completely one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire these also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and they and these know you have sent me. I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of God for the people of God. A prayer not only for the disciples, but a prayer that is still true today for each and every one of us. We talked about being a fan as opposed to being a follower, and I would remind you that being a follower means that we have made a decision to follow Christ. We've made a decision that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we've chosen to be a follower in good times, bad times, rather than be a fan who only just cheers on from the side or worships when it's conducive to worship or when things are going well. So I'm going to make the assumption this morning that I'm talking to an entire group of followers this morning. That may be a wide assumption, but I'm going to make it anyway. If you're not a follower, maybe you and I need to talk at some point or another, all right? I want us to think about our relationship with Christ, and I want us to think about where we are in that relationship and what we need to do to move forward now. Since I've been here, we've talked a lot about a relationship with Christ and a relationship with other people. Who are the people that God is putting in your way? Who are the people that God is putting in your path to establish and create a relationship that you might draw them into a relationship with Christ? And so we're going to spend some time over the next few weeks talking about what does it mean to be a missional church. And when I think about that, I think that has everything to do with being in relationship with God and being in relationship with other people. And so it's important for us to understand what does it mean as we go forward to be that in that relationship, and what does it mean to be missional? Well, the first thing we need to think about is the fact that we are created, and we were created, for a relationship with God. There's a wonderful theological term called Imago Dei, I-M-A-G-O-D-E-I. Imago Dei. We are created in God's image, male and female. He created us. We don't look, you know, if we have the idea that God is a white-haired gentleman with a long beard and sits up in the highest heaven, and we're created in God's image, we're a little faulty there, are we not? We look like God. When we look in the face of someone else, we are looking into the face of God Almighty, into His image of who He is. And so if you think, I'm not beautiful, I'm not pretty, is God beautiful? Absolutely. Every one of us is beautiful because we're made in the image of God. And so when we hear those words from Genesis, it says, then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. We're not only to be in relationship with God, but we're to be in relationship with everything else on earth. We are in charge of taking care of every other living thing. It's under our care. But God created us to be male and female, created in His image. And then we go on into 1 Corinthians, as Don read earlier. Just as we have been born in the image of dust, from dust we came, and dust we shall return, we also bear the image of the man from heaven. We have been given the spiritual part of God, that we will receive at the very end as we have received the Spirit even now. And for those in Romans, Paul writes, for those whom God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that we might be the firstborn within a large family. We are part of a larger body than just ourselves. And we've been given the image of God. God desires that His image be imprinted on His followers. We are to love, we are to live, and pursue what God loves and pursues in His life. And we should want what is on God's heart as well. And that is that we be unified, we be in line with other people. We may not like everybody else. You like everybody that you've met? You like everybody that you know? Not necessarily. But that doesn't mean you'd have to not love them. We're called to love even what we don't like. And that sometimes is difficult, is it not? But even God loves that which is unlovable. As Jesus was sent to accomplish the mission of God's purpose, so are we sent out to do Christ's purpose, bearing his image and living in relationship with him. Living in relationship with Christ. And so, in that vein, if we're imagining the image of God, we're sent out to serve, to bear the name of Christ, so we're living also in the Missio Dei. We're living and serving in the image of Christ as well. So if we're living in relationship with Christ, then we're also being sent out to accomplish that purpose. And as we're sent out to do the purpose of Christ, we're bearing his image and living in relationship with him. If we look at the book of John, and I want you to maybe write some of these verses down because they all say sort of the same thing, but you get a theme in John of what Jesus' purpose was about. John 4:34, John 5:30, 6:38, 7:29, 8:29, 9:4, 12:49, 13:20, 17:3, which we just read in chapter 20, verses 20 and 21. All of those verses tell us that Jesus came into the earth to do the will of God and to fulfill that will and to complete the work that God had instructed him to do. He could do nothing on his own. He could have. He could have gone off and not been who he was and done whatever he wanted. But that wasn't what he was here to do. He was here to complete the work of God. God had tried to fix things and all through the Old Testament. If you've read the Old Testament, you know that people fouled up. They would have periods of time where they would do wonderful things. They would have great periods, and then they would decide, well, we're going to do something a little bit different. And then they would kind of go off the deep end, and they'd get themselves in trouble. And then they'd have a period of good time again, and then they'd go off the deep end. God tried to work with that. And that wasn't working. And so he decided he needed to send Jesus Christ into the world. And his purpose in doing that was that Jesus would fulfill the will of God. And he would uphold that will. So Jesus' words were God's words. But they were new words. Different than the things he said in the Old Testament. Jesus knew what his purpose was and shared that same purpose with the disciples. And shares it with us as we read the scriptures. Our job is to fulfill that same purpose today. We are to continue that purpose, God's mission, Jesus' mission, and the mission of the church. Not only are we to be made in God's image, we're not only to continue the purpose, but we're also to relish in the glory of God, Gloria Dei. We are to share in his glory among all the nations and reflect his glory in our word and in our deed. The church exists for the glory of God. We don't come to church on Sunday morning just for our own satisfaction. If we are, we need to rethink that. We're here to bring God to glory on Sunday morning. And God will not share his glory with anyone or anything else. The church is the body made in the Imago Dei, sent out on a mission, and to be his glory. Made in the image of God, meant to share his mission, and meant to share his glory. So Jesus was a missional person. He was missional in his relationship with people. You see, every member and every follower is a missionary. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all going to be going off to Africa and eating locusts and wild honey and doing things that we don't want to do that are beyond our comfort zone. If that's the case, I'm in deep, deep trouble. I have a very limited diet. I have a very limited thing of what I like to eat. And when you get me into places where I got to eat things that I don't recognize, I'm in deep trouble. And I'm sure there are some of you right there behind me. You know, that scripture in Mark that talks about handling snakes and drinking poisonous drink. If my salvation and going to heaven is based on my snake handling abilities and drinking poisonous drink, I'm also out. Because I'm not going to handle any poisonous snakes and I'm not going to drink any poisonous drink. I will die at the thought of being squeezed to death with a boa constrictor. Just looking at it just makes me nervous. God doesn't call us necessarily those places. He may call some of us, but he calls us to go out. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." You hear that word? It says go. Doesn't say stay in your house where it's nice and comfortable. It doesn't say stay in your church where it's nice and comfortable. It says go out. Now that going, as I said, doesn't mean going to Africa. What he says to them is that they're to go to all the regions. You remember, Jesus didn't allow them to go to Samaria when he was alive. But after he leaves them, as he's about to leave earth, he says, go into Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. Our end of the earth might be right here in Van Buren, or in Indianapolis, or in Marion, or in who knows where. The point is that we're called to go. And every one of us is a missionary. It's participative. You can't say, I didn't buy in for that in my relationship. Yes, you did. Being agreeing to be a follower of Christ means that you're willing to participate in the mission of Christ. And it might call you out of your comfort zone, but it may not be the comfort zone out in the wild that you think it is. It may be just simply engaging with somebody that you might not otherwise engage with. You know, I've told you before about those folks with those funny drawings on their hands and their bodies. God's called me to engage with those folks with tattoos, so that I can see them as being made in the image of God. Because that's who they are. So sometimes we're called to deal with those people that we might not otherwise engage with. And that's calling us out of our comfort zone. Missional is about being and doing. Jesus called the disciples and said, "Here, I'm going to make you fishers of men." And the people in Acts became overwhelmed by what they saw in the disciples because of what they were doing. They were doing the things that Jesus was doing when he was on earth. They weren't just sitting around collecting dust and saying, "Well, here we are, and this is what we're supposed to." They were busy out there in the world doing what Jesus asked them to do. Mission is the existence, is the essence of our existence. We send mentors off to the school every day of the week. That's part of our existence. We have children come in for non-home loans. Some of those kids have no clue sometimes what we're trying to teach them. But we're trying to teach them in subtle ways that they can appreciate about who God is and what God is. And if it's nothing more that they see that there are six lively adults trying to keep up with 23 kids on Wednesday afternoon, and they see that we care about them and we love them, that's our mission. That's the existence of our mission. The existence of our mission is when we go out and visit people and give them points of cheer and encouragement. Everything we do is about mission. Mission is the essence of our existence. We are invited to be a part of that mission. God chose us, just as he chose those 12 disciples. The missional church, my friends, and that's not just this church, United Methodist Church. The church is the body of Christ, is a missional church. And it's a reproducing community. It continues to grow of people who are equipped as missionaries. Now, don't let that word scare you, because I'm not talking about missionaries in the sense of people going off to those places that you don't want to go. Every one of us is a missionary sent by God to live and proclaim the kingdom of Christ for the world. When you share the message of Christ, you are being a missionary. And that prayer that I read to you this morning, Jesus prays for those disciples and prays for us, his missionaries. He gives glory to God and the authority that he has had the privilege to enjoy while he was here on earth. He gives thanks for those 12 disciples that God had given him. He shared that they may know everything that he had enjoyed while they're living. He prays for the fact that they understand that God had sent Jesus to earth. The prayer moves to a prayer of being a prayer for those who were with him, not for the whole world, because the whole world didn't care for him, nor were they going to care for them. That's why they were afraid after the crucifixion and the resurrection. They had seen what had happened to Jesus. What might they do to him? He asks that God protect them as they continue the work to carry on his purpose and his will. Jesus knew that they would be hated, that they would be disliked. That prayer is for us as well. As we seek to carry out the mission and the purpose of Christ, that we will be unified, that we will believe, and we will ultimately enjoy the glory that Jesus enjoys by being back with God the Father. Our call is simple. Are we willing to be a follower? Are we willing to understand that we are living in a relationship with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit, and willing to carry out the message by understanding the Word of God, the words of God, and doing that which God gives us the ability to do? The decision is yours. Will you carry out that mission, or will you say, not for me? Amen.
To thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning, and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.